وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد, today إن شاء الله we'll be reading from the fourth chapter, باب ما جاء في ترجل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. باب ما جاء في ترجل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. Chapter regarding what has been reported on the Prophet combing his hair, alayhi salatu wasalam. Being the surprise, because this book, as we said earlier, is all about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam. How he, what he did to himself and how he did it. About his khulq, his character and his khalq, the way Allah has created him. So that is the basic thing about this book, about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So there is a surprise that we are even talking about how did he used to comb his hair, alayhi salatu wasalam. So that will make us understand that, and it is actually said that in history, there is no single human being whose life is so long like the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There's no human being that there is nothing, everything that he does, people know it. Everything he does, how he looks. If there are really like Christians, where they start telling us how Jesus looks like, alayhi salam. In fact, for the couple who told us how he looked like, we heard the hadith in Shema'il here. How Nabi Isa looked like, how Nabi Musa looked like, alayhi salatu wasalam. So our deen is a deen of information. Just ask the average Christian, if somebody goes into the grave, what happens to him? No question. But we, from the time the soul goes out of the body, there is information until the day of Qiyamah. There is information about what will happen, this so and so will happen, in this case is so and so will happen to him, in this case is so and so will happen to him, until the day of Qiyamah. So our ummah is an ummah of information. That's why from what he told us today is Iqra. Because if you have information, the information is not beneficial to you until you have read it. Until you have read the information. So it says Iqra, read. What do you read? If there is no information, you can't read anything. So our ummah is an informed ummah. So it gives each of us, it gives us to be informed. Not to be informed in my shakra or in my so it's remaining with us. The information is there. So it is we that will take it up and be informed people or leave it and be as uninformed as we have left searching and knowing about information. So the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, his life is so known that today inshallah we'll be reading about how he used to comb his hair. Alayhi salatu wasalam. The first hadith, hadith of us who have the nuskha of Sheikh Al-Albani, it is hadith 25, go. But for the rest of us, it will be hadith 31. Babu ma ja'a fi tawajjul Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. The chapter about what has been reported on the Prophet combing his hair. Don't forget, it may include weak and authentic narration. Because what he intends is all of what has been reported about this issue. So the ones that are authentic prayer will mention, the ones that are not authentic will mention. The fourth hadith is a hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha. He said, كنت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأنا حائض. كنت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأنا حائض. He said, I used to comb the hairs of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. Or I would comb the hairs of the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَأَنَا حَائِدٌ. What condition was I then while I was what? Menstruating. I was menstruating and I would comb his hair. عليه الصلاة والسلام. كنت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وأنا حائض. I used to comb the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam's hair while I was in a state of menstruation. So this hadith contains a lot of benefits. Some of them have to do with combing the hairs. Some of them have to do with other rulings about women when they are in the state of menstruation. But as far as things regarding the issue of combing the hairs is concerned, that is also from the instruction of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Al-Imam Abu Dawud, the Prophet, the hadith. He says, Man kana, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam. If I'm not forgetting Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet, the hadith. That the Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Man kana lahu sha'un falyukrimhu. Man kana lahu sha'un falyukrimhu. Whoever has hair should honor that hair. Whoever has hair, honor your hair. How do you honor your hair? Do what? It's tarajjul. By combing it, what tadhim, by oiling it, what tanzeef, by washing. So the Muslim's hair should not be seen to be scattered and dusty and all of that. Because the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam ordered us to make ikram of our hair. He said, Man kana lahu sha'un falyukrimhu. Anyone who has hair should honor the hair. When you do all of that, you are honoring your hair. So from what he will do alayhi salatu wasalam is that his wife will comb the hairs for him. Alayhi salatu wasalam. This is evidence that our wives should serve us. The wives of women, the wives of men should serve them. Al-Imam Shams al-Haqq al-Azim al-Abadi, while commenting about these hadiths, he says that this is evidence that women should serve their husbands. That this hadith is evidence that women should serve their husbands. If she would comb his hair for him, then don't ask whether she will cook for him, don't ask whether she will dress the bed. Because combing the hairs are more personal than those. So if even those ones that have to do with his body, she will do it, then don't ask about those ones that are outside of his body. In fact, there are hadith that he will do in itikaf and they will put his head from behind from the masjid. You know, his masjid is just next to her room. Her room is the cleanest room. The masjid. So, I mean Aisha's from Allah. So he will be in the masjid and he will thrust his hair from the window and she will come the rest for him. So she did that many times. So women should take the attention to serve their husbands. So don't be surprised if they're like, yeah, his wife don't be a for him. She said, the whole world is leading it. So like, nothing to be shy about that. Aisha said, I used to comb his hair. And then he showed the kind of relationship between himself and his wife. Because if they are not in good relations, she will not comb the hair. So she related with him well and he related with her well. You know why you are telling us that خَيْرُكُمْ خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ وَأَنَا خَيْرُكُمْ لِأَهْلِهِ. The best of you are the best of you to their households, to their wives. And I am the best of you to my household. So these are some of the benefits in this hadith. There are also other benefits in this hadith. From which is that a woman who is menstruating is not impure. Her hands, her body is not impure. Because the Muslim does not become impure, as is in the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu. Dead or alive, the Muslim is pure. So the stage of impurity that he is in is impurity to perform acts of worship, specified acts of worship. So if the woman is menstruating, she's not permitted to perform salah, she's not permitted to fast. This is the position of the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Else, the Khawarij are of the opposite opinion. That if a woman is fasting, if a woman is menstruating, she should pray and she should fast. So that is why when someone asked Aisha radiallahu anha, that she said, "Ahawiriyati anti, are you from the people of Hawira? That was where the Khawarij made their Khuruj and state, had their camp in Hawira. So against that position is the position of the people of Sunnah, and that's established in the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad. So a woman in menstruation should not be considered in herself as an individual to be impious, because that's also the position of the Jews. The Jews, they don't touch their wives. Touch, I don't mean conjugal relations, intercourse, no. They don't touch their wives when they are in church. They get them separated from place. They don't touch them, they don't eat with them. If they touched an apparatus or item in the house, they don't touch it. They don't used to do that. It's a hadith in which that Imam Ahmad, they came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I think that was some of the reveal of that verse in Surah Al-Baqarah. That yas'alunaka anil mahyid, kul huwa adhan, fa'tazil al-nisa' fil mahyid. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَدْخُلْنَ. This verse was revealed, they came to ask the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam about that, because they saw the Jews, they didn't touch their wives touching. They don't have anything to do with them when they are menstruating. Of course, that is the opposite of the Christians. The Christians who have it in their wives even in menstruation. As a matter of religion, you may find some of them who will not do it as a matter of health considerations. But in their religion, there is nothing about that. So it's the opposite of the Jews. But our own Ummah is Ummah to the Prophet. So we don't have it with them. So he said, alayhi salatu wa salam. So when they ask him about that, Allah revealed the verse on Hayd. He says, فَعْتَذِلِ النِّسَاءَ فِي الْمَحِيطِ. When the women are making menstruation, اِتَذِلِ وَهُنَّ. Keep away from them. Not run away from them. He explained it, alayhi salatu wa salam. So he said, اِفْعَلُوا كُلَّ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا النِّكَاحِ. Do everything with your wife except conjugal relations. You know, nikah could mean two things. If you use nikah between a man and a woman that has never married before, you are talking about that they should marry. Like he said, فَانْكِحُوا مَا طَابَ لَكُمْ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Those strange women, those that are pleasing to you from amongst them, marry them. This nikah here is marriage. That nikah, when you are talking about a husband and his wife, you say nikah between them, you are talking about what? Intercourse. So he said, if all you could not show in illa nikah, so do everything with your wife except intercourse. And so like she said, radiallahu anha, if you want to have anything with her, during her own menstruation, you told her to do what? To tie something by her waist. And then he has all the rights to do everything with her except intercourse. So that is the meaning of our tazimul nisa, keep away from women, not run away from the women. And from the evidence that verse does not mean run away from women is this hadith. Because if he were to have been running away from her by the meaning of our tazimul nisa, she will not then come and start condemning his fast. Even when he's fasting and in Etika, he will not do that, like the Jews will do. So when the Jews heard that he said, alayhi salatu wa salam, if alayhi kulla shay'in illa nikah, they were disturbed. That this man, he just likes opposing us in our religion. If we act like this, he will do something to oppose it. So this hadith is also evidence that the Muslims should oppose the Jews in the ways of their deen, in the issues of their deen. We should be opposite of what they do. Not ask what they are doing. In the religion, what is the opposite? That is regarding issues about which we don't have specific instructions from the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they used to steal away from their women. They don't eat with them. They don't have any relationship, then they lock them up somewhere. If they even touch something, they don't touch it. If they even drink from the cup, they don't drink from the same cup. Because they consider them unholy in those circumstances. But I also know, do everything with them. Do relate to them, mix up with them, do everything with them, except intercourse. So he says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوهُنَّ حَتَّى يَطْهُرْنَ. So then don't have intercourse with them until they have become pure from their menstruation. So this hadith contains all of that too, in explanation of that verse. So she said, radiallahu anha, قلت أرجل رأس رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم وأنا حائض. I used to comb the hair of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said ra'as, but what it means is sha'ar ra'as, the hairs on the head. Radiallahu anha. So the next hadith from our own nuskha is the 26th hadith. But I think in the general one it will be the 32nd hadith. And that hadith is the hadith of Anas ibn Malik, but the hadith is weak. So we just read it and explain it in the meaning and go ahead. It says that كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يكثر دهن رأسه وتصريح لحيته ويكثر الكلى حتى كأن ثوبه ثوب الزيات. The hadith says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يكثر دهن رأسه وتصريح لحيته ويكثر الكلى حتى كأن ثوبه ثوب الزيات. The hadith says, don't forget the hadith is a weak hadith. It says that the Rasul alayhi salatu wasalam yuksiru dahna ra'sihi. He always, he does it most of the time, dahna ra'sihi. Always his hair. He oils his hair, always. He does a lot of it, a lot of oiling of his hair. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa tafriha lihiyatihi. And always he's combing his beard. Always. You see many people have combs in their pocket. Many times people quote this hadith, they don't know that it's a weak hadith. If you want to ask, I'm also weak to Tasri Khalishiyati. Now, this hadith is weak. So, he combs his hair always. This is what the hadith says, that it is weak. We are looking for the kina. And he uses the kina always. The kina is something that when someone oils his hair, so that the oil does not stain the imama that you are wearing, you put the kina first. The kina is what they put first, and then on top of it they can wear their caps. On top of it they could wear whatever, such that the oiling of the hair does not stain the cloth with which they use for their imama or something like that. So he has the oiling and the combing is so much that that his clothes become like the clothes of Zayat. They will sell or make oil. His hair comes in three forms. It's either what a wafra around his hair, and if it's well oiled, it will definitely, drops of it will come on his shoulders or other parts of his body that touches his hair. And if he's wearing a wafra, that is something below the earlobe, the same thing will occur. And it will be worse when he's wearing a jumma. So all of his clothes will be stained with the oil. That's what this narration is saying. So the narration is a weak narration. It says that Kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looks in dahna ra'sihi. He always oils his hair. He puts a lot of oil on his hair. Wa tafriha lihiyatihi. And he is always combing his beard. Wa yuksiru al-kina. So he definitely also always wear a what? A kina. Hatta ka'anna thawbahu thawbu zayat. To such an extent that his clothes look like those of the sellers of oil or the makers of oil. But this hadith is weak. And you see something that will contradict it now in an authentic hadith. The next hadith in our own nuskha is the 27th hadith, also the hadith of Aisha. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Very, very important hadith. Because from the fiqh of this hadith, we see a lot of things that has to do with our day-to-day affairs as Muslims. In that hadith, she said, radiallahu anha, that in kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا يحب التيمم في طهوره إذا تطهر وفي ترجله إذا ترجل وفي انتعاله إذا انتعل. إن كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم لا يحب التيمم في طهوره إذا تطهر وفي ترجله إذا ترجل وفي انتعاله إذا انتعل. The hairs will not belong to people. you have cut it low. It will not be long though. It will not be long though. So the hadith says in kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam la yuhibbu tayammuna fi tuhuri wa tatahara. But the Messenger alayhi salatu wa sallam la yuhibbu tayammun. He likes, he so much likes at tayammun, taking to the right, I mean starting from the right, but taking to the right side, fi tuhuri wa tatahara, in his purification when he purifies himself. So when he performs ablution, he starts with the right. When he performs his ghusl, he starts from the right. So we wash our right hand before our right, before our left. So we wash like that, the right side before the left. In our wudu, the same thing in our ghusl. And the same thing when you wash dead corpse. If you wash a dead Muslim, you wash the right side and then the left side. The right side and then the left side. Right side and then the left side until you finish. When you turn, the same thing with the right side, if you're able to turn the cuffs. Because in some cases the cuffs are so, you know, either soft or so crushed together that you can't even turn it. I've seen the cuffs like that before. You just be pouring water as much as possible. If you try to move any part of that cuff, it may break off from you. So that day you just, in fact, only when the weather's run away. So you just pour enough water and you wrap it and take it to the better place. So we start with the right side and then the left side. The right side and then the left side. When we make the roof, so it says like Shabbat Tayammun. The Prophet definitely likes taking to the right in his Tahara. When he purifies himself, he has the Tahara. When he purifies himself, he takes to the right. He does the right side first. وَفِي تَرَجُّهِ إِذَا تَرَجَّلَ. The same thing, when he combs his hair, تَرَجُّ or تَرْجِيل. They are both terms. You can use تَرْجِيل, تَرَجَّلَ. You can also use تَرَجُّ, تَرَجَّلَ. So when he combs his hair, he starts with what? The right side. And then the left. The right side. The same thing in this hadith, you see these men shaving their head, they shave the right side first. The barber's there. Somebody told me, well, how will the barber know that the sinner should start on that? I said, don't say it. When you get there, you see, they know it already. So these barber will start from the right, the left, and they clean it up. But they start from the right. So the main thing she does, alayhi salatu wasalam, he starts with the right. Coming to the masjid with the right. So in all these things with the right, giving somebody a thing with the right. إن الشيطان لا يؤتي بشماله لا يأخذ بالشمال. The shaitan gives somebody a thing with the left hand and also takes from the left, using the left. يأخذ بالشمال. Shaitan. The same thing with food. So when the messenger eats alayhi salatu wasalam, he eats with his right. When he shakes people, he shakes with his right. So when he eats with his right, then he says shaitan eats with the left. He told someone one time to change what with which he was eating or drinking then in that place. So well, I can't do it. So he will not be able to do it. He can't do it. Perhaps Ulama says perhaps the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was given the revelation that that person says it arrogantly. So he said it to him and he will not be able to do it. So turning away from Allah's order arrogantly earns somebody Allah's wrath. Turning away from Allah's order arrogantly, it earns somebody Allah's wrath. It is a very dangerous thing to do. Arrogantly. Somebody could leave a thing and sin as a result of out of weakness, personal weakness. But somebody can do that? Yeah. You know this? I've seen a lot of Boko people. These people who are intoxicated with the knowledge of this dunya. So when they are in any place and they are eating, they eat with the left. Yes, I ate with a professor one day. I put my knife on the left, I put my fork on the left and my right because I was going to use that to take the meat. You're not following it, tell me what. They say I was not following the table manner. What manner? Which manner? Manner of Kufa? Which manner? There's no manner there. I told that Kufa, there's no manner there. This is the real manner. Table manner. Who put the manner? So when you follow them, in their doing desire, or you leave them the deen of your tabi over the shahwat and yamila kum mailan. They will follow their shahwat. What they like is follow them in that shahwat they are following. Anything you do, just do it. You say, no, I want to do it like this. Look at the adverts you see now. If anybody has to put a thing in his mouth or her mouth, she will use the left. Watch the adverts. You say, what's this? Don't be, let's not, I don't want to use this word. This appears too harsh, but it is better describe what I want to say. Let us not be gaffing about what we see in our community. Try to read beyond what you see. If you see adverts, little child is eating in the knee. What kind of it will be child will use to put the in the left. Somebody is drinking Coca-Cola, what do you see? Left. They are giving they seduce the people. They seduce the subliminal seduction. You unconsciously are seduced to do that thing that way. Because our deen teaches us the opposite. Use your right. You want to eat, use your right. You want to drink, use your right. Don't do anything. You want to give somebody something, use your right. It's common in the Arab world. Somebody will buy something and you want to give something, use your left. So no, the right. And when you resist the change, you never can tell what is the last thing you do. Yes, Sheikh Al-Albani gave a description of his father's younger brother, his uncle, that the man was being given something during the Hajj, with the left by somebody around him. He said, Allah, change it to the right. The person changed it to the right and gave it to him. He collected it and he died. Someone was giving him something to the left. He said, no, change it to the right. He changed it to the right. He collected it and he died. So you never can tell. That chance you are taking will be the last one you have to do something good. So don't take it easy with people. Many times people do it. They give you things to their left. Say, la. And the unfortunate thing is that's why I said it is people who are filled with the deception of the knowledge of Western education or modern day education or secular education, whatever you like to call it, that they have acquired. This unnecessary deception. Even in their cultures, it is a taboo to give somebody with the left hand. So they are giving you something with the left. Come on, change it to the right. Change it to the right. But today people see it as something good. Somebody has a compilation of the Marwiyat of Al-Imam who went for the Yaman, radiallahu anhu, on Fitan. You know, we went for the Prophet of the Sayyid Rasul. So he has the Riwayat behind the Prophet Ali Salat and described Fitan. So this author was saying that one of the things that shows Ishram Ibn Musa, Ishram Musa Hadi is this author. He did the tahqiq of the book. Ishram Musa Hadi. He wanted to know the Sheikh Al-Ghaz. He was saying in that book that one of the symbols that a person is already enmeshed in the fitna is that something he knew that is wrong before, and he used to do it, he used to avoid it as something wrong, he begin to do it. He will see it as something right and he will be doing it. When that thing happens to a person, just know that he's is in a fitna already. One of the symbols of knowing that a person is a fitna is that something he knows that is wrong, he preaches that is wrong, and he does not do it because it is wrong. So when he is in fitna, he will convert it to say, no, this thing is right. Just know that he is in fitna already. And this is the condition of many people regarding issues like this. When they even consider doing that as part of civility, it's civilization. But you know, those things, some people even say that, does it matter, yes it matters. Are you a devil? Ask him, are you sure Tom or his brother or his uncle, or which one are you? You see a man who say, why do you give me something to your left? So Shaitan is the one who does that. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the leader of Ashab al-Ladin. So la yuhibbu tayammum, so he likes taking to the right side. Ashab al-Ladin. Yeah. So la yuhibbu tayammum fi tuhurihi idha tatahara. When he purifies himself, he takes to the right. He starts from the right side. Wa fi tawajjilihi, combing his hair, he starts from the right side. If he wears his shoes, he has to start with the right. So take note, my brother. When you wear shoes, start with your right. When you wear your shoes, start with your right. When you remove your shoes, start with the left. There's a riwayah in Sunan Abu Daud in Sunan So when he wears his shoes, he starts to the right. When he removes them, he starts to the left. When he combs his hair, he starts to the right. When he makes wudu, he starts to the right. In that law, the same hadith of Aisha, but in the wording of Imam Abu Dawud, it says, كان رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يحب التيمم ما استطاع في شأنه كله. As long as it's possible, in all of his affairs, he starts with his right. في طهوره وترجله وتنقله. In his purification and in his ترجل, كله is there, and in his what? تنقل, wearing his shoes. Not. So he starts all of that with what he said. And she had said, he life making tayammum. It's that very, 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 very important. So in another related hadith also reported by Imam Abu Dawud, says that إِذَا لَبِثْتُمْ وَإِذَا تَوَدَّعْتُمْ فَابْدَعُوا بِأَيَامِنِكُمْ إِذَا لَبِثْتُمْ وَتَوَدَّعْتُمْ فَابْدَعُوا بِمَيَامِنِكُمْ. When you make your wearing of your clothes, when you wear your clothes, start from the right. So you should put it on your head, put it on the right, and then on the left. When you wear your trousers, start with your right and then left. The Prophet said so. Alayhi salam. He says, "Fat da'u bi ayaminikum, bi mayaminikum," in another language. They are both existent. Ayaminikum or mayaminikum. So you start with the right. You wear your right, right? Then you left. When you are wearing clothes, put it on your head, you wear your right, then your left. Teach your children to do that also from the very beginning. Let them get used to it. Now, children, when you want to wear that, they put their right. If you put their left, this is like a normal thing. This is how children should grow up. So this is what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. I think that hadith is clear. In China, but Mahal Shahid related to this bab is what? وَفِي تَرَجُّلِهِ إِذَا تَرَجَّلَ. And when he calls his hair, when he combs, he keeps to the earth, to the right speaker. The Prophet, alayhi salatu wasalam, called him. The companions knew where he started from. What they will do first. When he's calling himself, he starts from the right. When he's making the right, he starts from the right. He's making this way, he starts from the right. So all these ahadith are indicating that his life is well known. Well known. Well known. Alayhi salam. What is left for us is following. The next hadith in our own Nuskha is hadith 28. But I think in the general Nuskha it will be hadith number 34, 35 in some, 35 or 34. That hadith is now Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's tarajjul illa ghibban. Is it 34 or 35? It could be 35, yes. I remember that there is a hadith that summed in number from the very first chapter. Today we didn't number it, we have 34. This we didn't number it, we numbered it, we have 35. But it is in our own Muqtasar, don't forget, it is hadith number 28. That is the Muqtasar of Shaykh al-Bani. Hadith number 28. The hadith of Abdullah ibn al-Ghaffar. Radiallahu anhu. قال لها رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الترجل إلا غبا. لا نبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم عن الترجل إلا غبا. Prophet عليه الصلاة والسلام prohibited combing our hair إلا غبا, except غبا, a day after the other, literally غبا. يوم من بعد يوم. You come today, you don't come tomorrow. But the ulama, the Imam Al-Sindi said that what is intended, and others, that what is intended is not a day or after. But let it not be that that's what you get busy with. Don't get busy with coming here. Yes, you get busy with all the time. So that's why I was saying, for people to put combs in their pocket, you don't get busy with combing. If you have a comb in your pocket, you get busy with it. When you have your time in the morning when you take your bath and dress up, do that, make sure you comb it. Except if you have hair that become like a dad. And that is serious to many times people. So if you comb it, after house in the night, you should take a bath again. Because you could look nice to your household too. Only yeah, that you are the kind of person who looks like when you come into the house, like when I see that Alexa. If you came into his house, the first thing is that Aisha said, Brazil, and I swear, get back. He takes the siwak to clean up his mouth. So you all you clean up your mouth, you take a bath, you change your dress. You know, you have been driving all the way from Zaria, you know, sweat. You should have been in Lagos for long, you stand, you know. It's only that way, you have spent in a traffic jam, you understand? So by the time you get home, you have some layers of sand, you know, see that. And your face is ready to take a bath. So all of you are from the sin of the rest. So why do that? Come your hair. So but making something in your car you have a comb. In your pocket you have a comb. Everywhere you go that in your office there's a comb or that you go ha. Yeah. Nah Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam and it tarajuli Allah and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will deter us from combing our hair Allah Taudan except a day after the other. That is it will deter us from being busy with combing our hair. One of the scholars of Imam Raytan, he said getting busy with the hair is from the affairs of women. Yeah, they are also getting some of them quote unquote they worship their hair. They worship it, take care of it. And some of them go as far as doing things that are not permissible with the hair. So let them be careful and not go to the extremes regarding that. So this hadith says, Na Nabi, Na Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and it tarajjuli illa ribban. The Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam prohibited us from getting busy with our hair. Give ban, don't forget this. Like it says in another riwayah, that Na Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أن تشق أحدنا كل يوم. It will deter us from every day. كل يوم here means at all times, not necessarily every day. We can do that every day, but not get busy with it. So, you see, it falsifies, it makes us understand the error in that first hadith. Let's say that يُكْسِرُ دَعْنَ رَأْسِهِ وَتَصْرِيحَ لِحْيَاتِهِ يُكْسِرُ if one says مَعَا عَنْ ذَلِكِ إِلَّا جِبَّةً. So that's one of the proofs of knowing these narrations. They contradict things that are authentic. The next hadith in our own nuskha is hadith 29. That hadith is رجل من صحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. A man from the companions. His name is not known. This kind of thing is called جهالة الصحابي. Not known a companion. So they say جهالة الصحابة لا تدر. That you don't know the name. Even if you are not a companion, they ask who is that person. If you can't give us his name and find the statements of the scholars about his person, they say majhul. Go whether hal or ayn. It is either majhul ayn or majhul hal mastur. So whichever case it will be. But if it were a sahaba, what it is known that it's a sahaba, it's kuta. So it says an rajul min ashab. People make errors regarding the issue of an rajul min ashab in the nation. That's why you're disturbing yourself. As long as the person who said rajul min ashab Rasul is a tabi'i and is a seeker, don't worry yourself, the hadith is mustasal sahih. That is, the chain is connected and it is authentic. He sent a companion, and all companions are trustworthy. So whether we know actually his name or not, it does not really matter. That's why they say, جَهَالَةُ الصَّحَابِي لَا تَدَرُ. He also says, جَهَالَةُ الصَّحَابَ حُجَّةً. Not knowing a companion is a hujjah. The narration that comes without knowing a companion specifically is a hujjah. There is a hadith that people use this theory. They contradict it and they regard the hadith as weak. That one of the companions, one of the tabi'in said, he heard one of the companions performing salah. That when he said, Alaysa dhalika biqadirin, reading surah al-qiyamah. When he said, Alaysa dhalika biqadirin ala ayyuhiyya al-mawta. He said, Subhanaka fabala in his salah. So some of the people have made this hadith, they said, because they didn't know who that companion is. and they say that that tabi'i has only reported from a companion or two companions. The hadith is from Abu Dawud too. Now that tabi'i reported only from two companions. And we don't know which, from which one of the two that he has reported the hadith. We are asking why you are here. Any one of them that you saw, that you knew that is a companion, or you said he's a companion, and he said, I saw a companion, I heard him doing that. No matter which one of them it was, it doesn't matter because all of them are what to do. It doesn't matter which companion. So because of that, they give them that hadith weak. But it is sunnah because it is correct because Jahalatu Sahaba La'atabu. Not knowing the specific name of a companion, it does not render a hadith to be weak. So to say alayhi sallalika biqadirin ala ayyushri al-mawta and follow up with subhanaka fadala is authentic in the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam according to that companion. So in this hadith it says a'azmi al-ashab al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anna al-Nabiyya kana yatarajjalu ghibban kana yatarajjalu ghibban. That is, he does not comb all the time. He comes one day on, one day off. It's the same thing like the first one. نَهَا أَنِ تَرَجُّلِ إِلَّا جِبَّنْ فَهُوَ يَتَرَجَّلِ جِبَّنْ لِأَنَّهُ نَهَا أَنْغَيْرُهُ أَنْغَيْرُهُ. You understand? So it is correct in its meaning that this hadith is weak. The meaning is correct, that the chain of transition is weak. How do we know that the meaning is correct? Because we have other ahadith that points to the correctness of its meaning. But as it comes to the chain of report with which it came, it is weak. So the way Sheikh Al-Albani means tahqiqi depends upon or say that the hadith is weak. That is the last hadith in that bab. This bab on combing hair. So you know from the sunnah of combing hair is that our wives can comb the hair. You should not be busy with combing the hair at all times. And he prohibited getting busy with combing the hair. And then he starts from the right. He likes tayammum. La yuhibbu tayammum fi tarajjulihi. He likes taking to the right and combing the hair. In the same thing, when you comb your hair, start from the right. So these are the etiquettes of combing the hair. So from this shamai now, you get the etiquettes of doing what you have, these personal matters that we do. Inshallah, this way we stop today. The whole chapter you have to read the next whole chapter also. You know what men are doing? They are running to Chica. When you look at the time, just the Chica people are laughing. So you say, I've seen him before. The professor was doing everything together. We are waiting for him in his car. His clothes are not ironed. So I come back. He entered and changed the clothes. When he said, I'm sorry, he knew that the clothes were there, was not iron. We're going to the car. We're going to the car. So he went back and changed it. Okay, if it has to do with combing your hair, you see, some of these matters are difficult to say. It can't happen like that. If it is known that it is his wife and she's properly dressed, it is difficult to say that it is not permissible that she combs his beard for him or his hair. Outside, if you say if it is outside, it is not permissible, you must provide evidence. So you must be able to say this is the reason why it's not. You may not like it as a person, but don't say it is religion. Except you can find something that will make us understand that it's not permissible. The Prophet ﷺ, the day that he married Safiya bint Khuwaylid, What did he do? How did Sophia climb the horse when he wanted to bring her on the horse? The prophet knelt down and told Sophia to climb on his lap. So she climbed on his lap as a staircase to go on the list of them. It was in public, it was reported by another companion. And she fell from that horse. She was carried off by another companion. So there are some of these matters that may be difficult to really say, no, it's not permissible. Because if a man has to do that for his wife, I don't think it is causing her that there will be an issue for him. She wants to go on, she wants to climb the horse. He says, climb on my lap. So she matches the lap. She steps on it. Steps on the next one to go on the list of them. Publicly, let's read that. Allah is Allah. So some of those things, and then she was lying behind him. I used to see some brothers carrying their household on the back. I say, mashallah, the prophet and Sophia. And it happened like that. If she wants to come down, she can't come down alone. You can't carry her to come down. In fact, this evidence is something that can bring her down. Because if you can help her to go on the right, then you can help her to bring her down. You may not like it as a person, but that's you. Some of us too have had things like that before. Okay, when I work, I don't like to work with any of my households. I walk around and walk down. But these days I've changed that policy. But I don't know what this is one half right. The reason was I just don't want them to meet people to know that to connect me they don't see me at all. But this act of the commercial last and I'm showing that there's nothing wrong with things like that. The man I want is traveling, he used to carry his wife along. The reason why that you not see it her. With him. He said he had with him. So there's a need for him to carry her or hold her. He'll carry her or hold her. So I think some of these matters may not have the 1+1 is equal to 2 answer. So when it comes to the issue of hugging a wife, the first thing that these matters are matters of time. But even that, things like that can happen in a circumstance that even the onlookers will not have anything to do with it. Imagine a man who loses his wife. She got lost. The day he sees her, what will he do? He will not run away, he will carry her and put her on his back. He will go into the house. So some of these things, they will not have a hard and fast rule. The circumstances will determine. But when you start becoming just hugging her on the road, then that may be said to be no. You do that inside your house. But when she was in necessity, she falls down, need to carry her up. I'm sure you two are familiar with my wife, what you call Kalyan. I tell you, forever they find that person. I tell you to meet with Kalyan for me. So, these are some of the things about this matter. From now on, they may not have a hard and fast truth. I don't consider her. But inside now, she can come for you. We are not married now. We are asking a wife to this question. Okay, about what?
Yes,
the same thing that I that. I am. 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 It's not this mental, but it's the only two is authentic. The one on Sabbih Isma Rabbika Al-A'la. You say Subhana Rabbi Al-A'la. أليس ذلك بقادر على أن يحيي الموتى سبحانك فضل عليك فيك أنا يسيت الله because these people don't say it again they don't even know it so you can popularize that sunnah you say it aloud Umar رضي الله عنه Imam Muslim reported that when he makes dua istiftah he used to say it aloud سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك وتبارك اسمك وتعالى جدك ولا إله غيرك ليعلم الناس The hadith is Muslim. Remember that recently when somebody came to say that hadith is weak. It was one of the strong reputations. Now can Umar be teaching people that in Medina as a Khalifa? And nobody is supposing him that he's doing something wrong. In a situation where he's supposed to read silently, he's reading it aloud. It's evidence that hadith is authentic. Do you understand? It's yes, it's no proof like Allah who somebody was saying that hadith on Subhanakallah wa bihamdik wa tabarak asmak is not authentic. So his own statement is not authentic. So it's not like you can say it aloud to popularize it. But when it is the law, فنحن على ذلك من الشباب في that because it's not authentic. Because I didn't know you to say that, عليه الصلاة والسلام. And then when the Imam is leaving to Muhammad or Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, guys, they ask me this is the Sharia. Maybe they are the same with Lamik Lamik. Because we are the interpreters. Or Imam is making his Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم. So, Khutbah, they mean they can see this thing so that they will be that Dajjal, the Masjid. The time that Amr bin Ma'ruf and Nahy al-Munkar itself is not permitted. Yes, because if you tell your brother it's good, so called Laga, Lagaita. You say, hey, keep quiet, you too, you have committed error. You don't give out to his point. Is that the same time that you can say, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? So, these things are connected to what people say during Salah. So, Bala, so, Alayhi Sadalikam, Yukadirin ala ayin si al-Mawta, he said, Subhanaka Salala. Now, this is authentic. Alaykum as-salamu
You talk about the poor Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam.
It's because the vacuum is dirty, or you have any other personal reason that will prevent you. But it's not religion. It's not religion that says don't talk in the vacuum. The amount of people is one of the things they used to teach people. So we know them. Most of what they say or do are doing things that lack any basis. In fact, this issue of always coming in there, I heard it first from them. They used to pull comb all the time. Every year they are coming. They said the Prophet used to comb his eyes always. Yeah, this is weak. So, talking in the bathroom, people are very dirty. But if you have some nice bathrooms and you need to say something, what you need to say. I used to play with her. Say, leave some water for me. She said, hey, leave some water for me. And all that. It's very dirty. For you, it's permissible. If somebody does not do, he's not doing it for another reason, not because doing so basically is wrong. Alaykum as-salam. Shave the hair of a female child, yes. Yes, the Prophet said alayhi salatu wasalam. The hadith for the male child is the evidence for the female child. What the problem people have had is that because the Prophet used the kalima of gulam, he says, Kullu gulamin mu'tazamun bi'aqiqatihi yawma sa'tuhbahu lahu yawma sa'tihi wa tukhlaku ra'asahu. He says, every child is mu'tazamun. The explanation of this mu'tazamun is the explanation that Imam Ahmad had always given. Kalimahullah, the scholars have said, this hadith is facing Muslim Ahmad. The mu'tazim in the haqiqat is that if a child dies, it will not make shafa'ah for its parents if they do slaughter, if they do slaughter for him. So that is the essence of slaughtering for the child. If he dies as a child, it will not make shafa'ah for its parents. So you slaughter for that. So in this same hadith, he says, you shave his beard. So they say it is gulam that he said. You understand, gulam usually refers to a male child. But the ulama say, la, al-khitab lil-wahid, al-khitab lil-kul illa lil-nafs. A statement given to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, even if it's a male child that was involved, the message covers both male and female children. And that's a new instruction of the Sharia. Yes, yeah, it's women. Some, they are the Medina Amr, the Kutila, the Kutila. The predominant used in all of these places are these, the pronouns are these of males, but it covers the females. Even in the Arabic literature, basically, the male pronouns cover females, except as otherwise mentioned. Some scholars say you can't shave their hair. I think that was also the position of Sheikh Uthaymeen and some of the Halabila. But some of us among the scholars say no, the position is wrong. Like Sheikh Sujood Hafat Khan. If you read the road to Nubiya, you see there. He discussed it. Allahu Alaihi Wasallam. Alaykum as-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi. The hadith that they be shaving in the head of a woman, the hadith of Ibn Abbas and Sunan Abu Dawud, is not talking about children. I think that's another evidence that could be misunderstood. That's a hadith in Sunan Abu Dawud. I think the brother could share.
Okay.
There's a hadith of Sunan Abu Dawud, the hadith of Ibn Abbas, the that is happening lately. Many scholars declare it happen. Like Imam Shinkiti and Sheikh Mandani also. He said the hadith is happening, the hadith of Ibn Abbas. It's reported also by Imam Dawud-Qutni that the Prophet ﷺ prohibited two men from shaving their hair. He's not talking about children. So most of that hadith came in the matters of Hajj. If you read at one bayan by Imam Shinkiti, you see this bayan in Hajj, inshallah.
I want to know the number of times one can raise up your hands and the positions.
The number of times you can raise up your hands in Salah and the position in all positions. Each time you are moving from one position to the other, you have a sunnah raising of the hands. The companions of the Allah who said, we used to raise our hands so much by our hands, we are like what? Hands. Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar. All the time. So it's not restricted to what Ibn Umar radiallahu mentioned in the hadith as reported by Imam al-Nasa'i in Sunan al-Nasa'i, that four places, when you start the Takbirat al-Ihram, when you go down ruku, when you come back from ruku, and then when you stand up from a sajda, it's more than that. Imam Bukhari has a whole book on that, roughly against the Salah. If you read the book, you see all these hadiths there. So it's more than that. If you stand up, you say Allahu Akbar. You go to ruku, Allahu Akbar. You stand up on ruku, Allahu Akbar. You sit down, you turn to sajda that day, you raise up your hands. You go back to sujood again, you raise up your hands. Every change of position from one position to the other in Salah, it is very similar to raise up your hands. Allahu Akbar.
After
ruku,
can we fold the hands
after
ruku?
Can we fold our hands after ruku or drop the hands? There is no evidence to fold the hands. The sooner to drop the hands, because that is the outfit. So, we don't want to say there is no particular hadith that says you should fold the hands.
I heard the thing that says you did that.
Yes, they have secret to Salat in Ali. Not just the Da'a, Dalala. He added Dalala to it. Because Kulli Bid'at in Dalala. That's the meaning, because something that's an act of worship but that lacks evidence is called a Bid'a. It is an act of worship. People are performing it, but it lacks evidence. It does not have evidence. Because it says, then amila amala laysa alayhi amrina. So if there is no amrina on it, if it does not have the approval of Allah, the approval of the messenger, it says, it will be rejected. See, that's what they are saying. Then you know, we can put them and say, where is the amrina? Where is the order that tells you hold your hand when you find out from ruku? So to me, inshallah, that appears to be the most authentic position. Yes, there is a difference. Some of the scholars have said that there is like Sheikh Ibn Baz. They wrote their own book on it. But if you read the book, you don't see any hadith. Not something that you don't see. Just tafsirat and ta'wilat and istinbaqat and fikriya and aqwal. That's what you see. But it's enough. And there is nothing in Salah that does not have enough. There is nothing in Salah that does not have a text of its own that mentions it. That this thing do like this in Salah. There's nothing in Salah that does not have a text. So if this one does not have a text, if you talk anything that you in a feet. Karamolo. Is there any position that will make Karamolo? No Karamolo? Shaving all the hairs, not even anything. Well, in terms of prohibition, no. What you may find is a statement that says that it is discouraged. Some scholars have said that, like Hafiz ibn Hajar, in Fathul Bari, Kitab al-Iman, the last hadith. When we discussed the kisa of Abu Huraysah, the man who told the Prophet Allah, Ya Muhammad, ittaqi Allah fa'i. Hey, fa'innaka lan tahdi. be just because you are not just. You say that to the Muslim. So he's going to say, if I'm not just, who will be just? If I don't say Allah, who will say Allah? It is true. If he does not say Allah, the messenger does not say Allah, who will say Allah? So he turned and went to the Prophet and said, even like, look at him. So from the things that we are described as a group of Israel that was shaving his hair completely, skin, even in the red kind of shaving, shave, remove everything. So he became one of the sinat of the Khawarij. One of the things we treat the Khawarij, we are known, is to shave their hair, cover them all, everything. But some of among the scholars say, it is permissible to shave everything. And the hadith, the evidence from who he said that is Al-Imam Al-Waqiri in Tusfat al-Aqwadi, and also I think Imam Shams al-Haqq al-Azim in Ayn al-Ma'bud. But the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam visited the people and saw some people having qaza on their heads. You know qaza. They shave some parts, shave karamoni some parts, they leave some parts. And he said, you should either shave everything or leave everything. The Ulama said, oh, this is the way that you could shave everything. He said, you either shave everything or leave everything. So he said, no, it is possible because give it to them as an alternative. You either shave everything or leave everything. He said, see, Bayan Jawaz Haikara. This is showing that vanity and shame. The only thing that could be connected, if we have to connect the two matters, is that when things like this become smart, that is known to people that even one may have to avoid it a little bit more, so if other than it is better than it. They became something with which some people are known. So do other than it that is permissible, so that you don't become from among those people. Because I'm sure then among those fellows, if you share your head, you make a path pay that, are you from the Khawarij? So that I think those things, you don't have that fear now, if somebody shares his hair. So Allah Alam, it's permissible to share the hair, Skara Molo, last question, inshallah. Alaykum salam. Then you ask him for all these things. It's permissible. But don't get busy with it. Every time he sits in front of the mirror, you know, oiling the beard. There's no time to make you laugh, there's no time to make us cry, there's no time to do other things. Who is talking to your wife? When it's changing, that people have to talk to their wives, they are busy. They are very busy. I used to say this, most of the people in the area. You go in the morning, many of them, they come out to meet their food on the table. They eat and sleep. The next morning, salam alaikum, they are gone again. On top of it, they have the car to attend. On Sunday, they want to visit a friend because there is no traffic on the road. One of those things is that because they are used to going out all the time. So even when they have opportunity to stay, they have still want to go out. Just for example, you see, a person likes going out all the time. Even when he does not need to go out, he wants to go out. So this is not proper. Spend time with your family and your children. Your wives, your children. Talk to them. Play with them. Children have no favorite place they have with their parents. So play whatever play that you want. Play. Now, you are going to look at you. You are going to be a Atari Yara. Yara me. You are going to be a Atari Yara. You are going to be a Atari Yara. Imagine the Prophet Sallallahu coming with some people. We are going to the gathering. He saw Hassan playing. Remember this hadith. It is the hadith of Abu Huraira. Hassan stood up. He saw that Umar was coming to gather. He ran. He probably followed him. He ran again until he grabbed him. How is that? You think the man will forget that? Hassan is the Ali ibn Abi Talib, the prophet's grandchild from Fatima. God was coming. She was running like this. They are dreaming themselves. If it's up, there is no, I don't know a man, a big man that will do that today. You have his atba coming behind him, mashallah. You are new. He said to me, he's never clear again. He's not tired. He said, I'm not going to be with you. Play with the children, make things easy for them. I think it's easy to bring me a media general in the house. He gave me one of that name in Hajj. He was always talking to his wife. She's taking orders. So in my room, we started calling media general. He just takes things easy. Yes,